Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Indian Conflict Resolution Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jyoti M. Pathania, in conversation with Dr. Vesam L. Madhavan, the founder of a global nonprofit network, Global Ambassadors of Sustainability, which has more than 13,300 members from 130 countries. Dr. Vesam holds a fellowship on sustainability cities at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a postdoctoral fellowship at Malaysia Japan International Institute of Technology, and a PhD on environmental engineering from University Sains Malaysia. With 20 years of working experience, teaching, training, research, as well as consultancy, we are indeed delighted to have him on our show. Welcome, Dr. Vesam, to the OIJ PCR podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prof, for inviting me to be part of this program.
Okay. Could you tell us a bit more about why you started this nonprofit organization and what is the kind of work that it does?
Yeah, actually, this network was established in August 2020, which was right mid the COVID-19. And I was motivated by, you know, launching this network where people during the COVID-19, you know, they have the interest to learn more about the environmental challenges, sustainable development, because the discussion on those hot issues start growing amid the crisis, the pandemic. And with my knowledge through the PhD journey and research, and later on accomplished by my fellowship on sustainable cities, so I thought that I'll be capable to contribute something to the humanity, to the global community, through building this network, which aimed to educate people and build the capacities of people on sustainability and sustainable development practices. So with the help of a lot of colleagues from the universities, we develop a program, set up a team, and we try to promote these activities virtually. We conducted several programs, and those programs caught the attention of people, especially like young people in the universities, people from industries and NGOs. And we succeeded to achieve like this a global community of 13,000 members from 130 countries, where we continue to do these activities up to now on a monthly basis. And we keep engaging all these sustainability ambassadors to build a better future for the global community. Thank you.
Yes. And in fact, I have also been a participant in many of your webinars with respect to sustainability. So I completely agree. It has added a pace to our lifestyles also and our thinking also with these conferences, which keep happening almost every once a month. But given your experience and, the kind of research work that you do, can I ask you, what do you believe, in fact, are the links between, let's say, sustainable cities, sustainable environmental practices, and sustainable peace?
You know, peace and justice is one of the important SDGs, which is SDG number 16. And also the SDG number 17, which is linked to that, which is a partnership for the goals. And, the link is very clear. When you have stability, when you have prosperity, you have security, then that definitely will help to accomplish, will help to establish those sustainable communities, to build the concern of people over environment and protecting the environment, increasing the economic growth, and also maintaining the social justice. So peace is a crucial element in the sustainability process. And we have evidence from several international reports on the progress of SDGs in countries in the global community where the peace or stability is part of the process. And it is found where I, you know, it's found to be that when you have instability, that will definitely delay and affect the whole sustainability prospect, will delay the whole developmental process, where, you know, that is evidenced by numbers, by indicators, when you compare stable region with unstable region. So peace is important to achieve sustainability. And also, if you have, maybe in other aspects as well, the lack of peace, the instability can lead or delay to the sustainability practices. And I think I wanted to add one more element, which is important in the discussion,
yes,
where there is a growing interest on environmental security,
right,
where as we know, the conflicts and war can affect the environment, can damage and deteriorate the environment. And in some countries, the environmental resources can be a reason for conflict and wars. So this is a two ways relationship between the environment and the stability and peace. So this is, I think, the discussion that we are bringing up today. This is a crucial discussion, because it's an important element, whether we are talking about environmental protection, stability and peace, or talking about sustainability practices, sustainability lifestyle and peace. Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't have agreed more with you. We have seen a concurrent rise in the armed conflicts and climate related disasters. Could you give us, you know, few examples where the of conflicts where the environmental concerns, in fact, were a reason for the start of a conflict?
You know, I joined the program previously, and they were mentioning about the case studies, and many of them in Africa, where the resources, the natural resources and the environmental resources become a reason for conflict. Even they were mentioning about a new term, which I learned through that program. They mentioned about the war economy, you know, and
yeah,
where these resources will finance, you know, the rebel groups and the militants. And so that will trigger the conflict, and that will sustain even the conflict, because those groups, those militant groups, will have their own finance from their natural resources. And the other aspect which I mentioned, when you have which is quite, I think, quite clear about the, when you have the conflict, that conflict will damage the environment, you know. So it started over a competition on the resources and who control those resources, who benefit of those resources. So that will start a conflict. And then the conflict later on will create a lot of challenges for the environment, whether we are talking about air pollution, water pollution, waste issues, and even in some cases, if you have radiations, if those resources are related to radiance materials. So this is very clear, and unfortunately, that is occurring in many poor countries, and that will add to the social tension in those countries. That will contribute to the unrest in those countries, and the vulnerable groups, the vulnerable communities, will suffer more because of these conflicts. Thank you.
Okay, so can international partnerships work to mitigate the environmental dimensions of, let's say, the armed conflict? And if they do, if the international partnerships do mitigate the environmental dimensions, what forms do you envision of such partnerships taking place, you know?
Yeah, I think this is an important point about partnerships, collaborations, which definitely will contribute to solve these conflicts and also achieving sustainability. But we have to to take into consideration the importance of justice, you know, because when we talk about peace, you have to, the justice will have to kind of be a process of achieving peace, because peace can't be achieved by force, or like when we talk about implementing and forcing peace. Peace has to start with justice for those communities on their rights. You have to give people rights. People have to get their freedom. And so we always talk about justice and peace. That is, I want to stress on that. And unfortunately, when we talk about conflicts, so whether it's over political conflicts or conflicts over resources, as I mentioned earlier, if you don't achieve justice, you will never achieve peace. So the international community have to be fair, have to give a fair treatment for people, have to make sure that people are getting their freedom, and also have to make sure that justice will prevail so that people can live in peace together. And I think, and unfortunately, we are speaking now amid the crisis in Palestine, in Gaza. So, and that is definitely, I've been involved in one of the projects about assessment of one of the war in 2021. And there is a huge damage to the environment, to the resources, to the infrastructure. And now we are talking about statistics from many international reports, like stating that we are talking about 70% destruction of buildings and infrastructure, about pollution in water, the wastewater treatment, the wastewater treatment plant stopped to work, and that now they are reporting about hundreds of thousands of people getting infected because of the lack of hygiene. So when you solve such a challenge, it can't be by force. You will never achieve that by force. You have to, we have to find a formula to provide justice, to provide the freedom for people. Then you can talk about peace. And that definitely will lead to a prosperous life for people, will provide for a stable condition for people, will help to sustain peace, will help to sustain the human resource, well, and the natural resources as well.
Some data, if you could decipher, with respect to, you know, the environmental cost of the conflict in Gaza, the ensuing conflict in Gaza.
So, as you know, the conflict and the war is still ongoing, and all the reports is based either on satellite images or some estimation.
Right.
Because, you know, people can't like now start gathering data or do some measurements, because it's insecure even to walk on the street. So I think that is a crucial part. I just read one report this morning about mentioning that 30% of Gaza is totally destroyed. You know, 30% of the whole strip is destroyed. Last week, there was a report mentioned, and this is again based on satellite images.
Right.
They mentioned like 70% of the residential units destroyed. This is again an international report. But as I mentioned, I led the a team of assessment, environmental assessment for the war in 2021,
right.
And we found, for example, that in that period, which is only I think was like 10 days of war,
right.
We gathered data on 600,000 tons of construction waste resulted from the attacks, hundreds of kilometers of water pipes, which was destroyed, the infrastructure, the roads. And, you know, when we talk about those environmental challenges, so it's not, and damages, it's not isolated. Because once you have water pollution, that will lead to soil.
Right.
When you have construction waste, you might have some chemical materials, you might have air pollution as well. And in one of the incident, one store of pesticide was bombed, and it created a lot of fumes that cover the north of Gaza. And that led and reported a lot of cases of people having respiratory disease. And you know, those chemicals, when they are getting burned, that will have a lot of chemicals, fumes in the atmosphere. And those chemicals are carcinogenic. And that's why we have a lot of reports recently about an increasing cases of cancer in Gaza, especially where the recent, it was last year. So they're talking about thousands of cases, thousands of new cases of cancer. And you know, the challenge also, so we are talking about environment, talking about health, and that can't be isolated from the reality that even when people getting sick, they can't get the treatment locally, and it's very difficult for them to get it internationally. They have to queue for months to get approval to leave the country to get the treatment. So there is a lot of complication, environmental, health, socioeconomic, and politic. And again, I want to stress, without solving the root cause of those challenges, without prevailing justice, you will never see peace in the region, unless people are getting their basic rights. You know, we are talking about getting food, getting water, living in a hygienic environment, and have the right as the other people, wherever they are. And I think the formulas is there for coexistence, for people getting along together. We have a lot of examples internationally where people from various ethnicities, various races, various religions can live together, but it has to be, and we have to have the political will to solve those challenges. Otherwise, we will keep listening and we'll keep seeing those horrible images of destruction and, killing of people, which is, again, affecting the people, basically, environment, health, and all aspects of life. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's like a vicious circle, and all these issues are interlinked. And in fact, the environmental implications have further exacerbated the current humanitarian crisis. And that is what is happening in Gaza, or in any part of the world where conflicts are still in progress. Whether it's the Russian-Ukraine war, it's been almost 2 years, and the war doesn't seem to end. So it's really frightening. And, at times one wonders, where is the humanity moving on? The more we are progressing, the more we are regressing as well. But Dr. Wissam, let me ask you, how would you like to stop the war in Gaza? What would be your recommendations? Do you think the UN should play a more robust role in the conflict, or do you think some other countries could play a role? How would you like to see an end to the conflict?
I think the conflicts and war, it's affecting people everywhere, whether we are talking about conflicts, the war in between Russia and Ukraine, and people are suffering, and whether we are talking about different conflicts in other parts of the world. If we want to zoom in the conflict and the war in Gaza or in Palestine,
yes.
So as we know that this if we can call it conflict, because it's originated from the occupation of the Palestinian land in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, the Palestinians agree to the international resolutions on two-state solutions, and they accepted a Palestinian state in Gaza and West Bank, which is only representing 23% of the Palestinian territories before 1948. But so far, we are talking about more than 30 years of negotiations, And that led to nowhere. There is a lot of challenges, not only in Gaza, but maybe now the a lot of updates because of the war in Gaza, but actually the people even in the West Bank, which is under a several a different political authority, which is more on peace approach and peace negotiations. But also the situation is horrible on a daily basis. A lot of checkpoints, a lot of people being killed. So to solve the issue, we have to go back to the international resolutions in recognizing a Palestinian state for the people of Palestine to live and get their freedom, to get their control and sovereignty over their land. And the political solution is there, whether we are talking about the territories geographically or some of the religious places as well, in like for the issue of Jerusalem. It needs, as I mentioned, the political will of the leaders, specifically from the Israeli side, to recognize the Palestinian ambition of getting their state to live in peace. And I think should be a lot of more engagements by the international community, by the international players, whether we are talking about the United States, talking about the European Union, to push forward for this solution, which is creating justice for the Palestinian and will create peace for everyone. Okay. Otherwise, and I think we are going in that direction, if people lose hope, we will always have that conflict rising again and again. Right. And I think in the future, people will start talking about the one-state solution where people need to live together, which is more practical to me. If you ask me honestly, that is more practical, but I know might be politically, it's very difficult for both sides to recognize. But based on international experiences, I think that is viable, that is practical, and that can be done. But you need the political will, you need the international pressure from the big players. And again, I want to stress, you need to find a justice so that you can achieve peace. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for those wonderful insights, Dr. Waissam. You know, it was indeed very insightful, and it was lovely talking to you, talk about especially the linkages between sustainability, environment, and the conflict. Thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prof, for again, this is an interesting opportunity, and let's think and see how we can can develop this collaboration, because I'm always interested in developing this topic further, because I think not much discussion being done on sustainability and peace. So we might be able to develop a specific program together and collaborate together.
Yes, I will certainly look forward to that, and I shall be sharing the same with you. And I look forward to academically engaging with you on sustainability projects.
Thank you so much, Prof. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.